Welcome to the Australian Law Reform Commission podcast. Welcome to this episode of the Australian Law Reform Commission podcast series. Today, we are unpacking the recommendations made in the final report on the Corporate Criminal Responsibility in Australia inquiry. I'm Nadine Davidson-Wall, Communications Coordinator at the Australian Law Reform Commission, and I'm joined today by Sarah Fulton, who is a Senior Legal Officer at the ALRC. Sarah has been involved in the Commission's recently released report. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Nadine. It's great to be speaking to you.
Within this inquiry, you were looking at how the law deals with directors and senior managers when their company breaks the law. There seems to be a widespread public view that those running companies who commit crimes often get off scot-free, seen again recently in the wake of the Financial Services Royal Commission. Is that something that was backed up by the ALRC's findings?
Well, there was pretty much general agreement across the board in consultations that when companies commit crimes, directors and senior executives should be held accountable if they've failed in their own responsibilities. And there are various different mechanisms through which that can be done. But we regularly heard the view that it didn't seem to be happening for those from the very, very large corporations.
Did you have any hard evidence that this was the case?
We looked at it further by analysing all the cases brought over the past 5 years by the two major regulators, ASIC and the ACCC. We looked at the proceedings they'd brought against companies and individuals connected to them. And the results of that analysis were pretty striking. It showed that, except in relation to cartel conduct, proceedings were really, really very rarely instituted against directors or senior executives of the largest companies, such as large banks, telecommunications companies, and retail companies. For that type of company, much more than for any other type of smaller company, court action was much more likely to be taken against the company alone. Now, it might be that some cases against senior executives, even criminal cases, do come out of the Financial Services Royal Commission, for example. But until now, there haven't been any. And if they do, they'll be the exception rather than the rule.
Were you able to reach conclusions as to why directors and executives from the largest companies are less likely to be taken to court, even when the company is found to have broken the law?
So there seem to be a number of different issues here. First, it could reflect to some extent the historic enforcement priorities of the regulators. For example, in the context of the Financial Services Royal Commission, Commissioner Hayne criticised ASIC for preferring negotiated outcomes to enforcement action when it came to the big banks, and ASIC's now adopted a new approach to enforcement. And we were also told by various people involved in these types of cases just how difficult they are in practical terms to litigate. And these difficulties are even bigger when the individuals concerned are from large, well-resourced corporations. These include things like blanket claims for legal professional privilege that cause really long delays, legal difficulties in coordinating and sharing information between regulators, and practical difficulties of evidence when you have different proceedings against companies and individuals in relation to the same matter. Some of these issues are currently being addressed as part of other law reform processes. But the biggest issue seems really to be one of diffused responsibility or a lack of a clarity of accountability within companies themselves. Especially in large companies, there are really complex reporting structures, and that might mean that no single executive actually knows enough or has enough involvement in wrongdoing to be held personally liable for what's gone wrong. This might be the case even if management as a whole incentivized the misconduct or if management's negligence allowed it to take place. This was highlighted in the Royal Commission as an issue, and it was also regularly raised in consultations to this inquiry.
So then how has the law traditionally dealt with this?
Well, there are three main ways in which directors and senior managers have been held responsible when companies break the law. One, and many see as the primary way, is through being held liable as an accessory to the Companies Act. Just like any person can be held criminally responsible if they aid and abet another person's crime, so a director or a manager can aid and abet a corporation's crime or a civil contravention. But as we show in the report, both criminal and civil accessorial liability require a really high level of knowledge and intention. Recklessness or negligence isn't enough for aiding and abetting. And quite rightly, many would argue, because you're being held out as morally culpable for that crime or contravention itself. Often in the corporate context, either that type of culpability doesn't rest in a single individual, you can't pin it to one person, or even if it does, it's very, very difficult to prove. But when corporations can cause such harm to the public, to the environment, to the economy, there are many who argue that there are good reasons to expect more of those in charge. So the law has also developed other mechanisms. The first main type is by putting specific statutory duties on directors and senior managers. So like general directors and officers duties and duties to ensure that companies comply with workplace health and safety laws. The other main way is through provisions which deem directors or managers liable if their corporation breaks certain laws, either if it can be shown that they were reckless or negligent, or simply because of the position they hold. We look at these in detail in the report, but a key issue is that even these types of provisions are often much harder to apply in really large organisations where the responsibility is in reality very diffused.
Given this, how did the ALRC conclude that individual accountability for corporate misconduct could be strengthened?
In its discussion paper, the ALRC had looked at the option of a standard provision which would deem particular individuals within a company personally liable to a civil penalty when the company committed a crime. And this didn't receive strong support. Most stakeholders thought that it would be really onerous on directors and managers, and that actually the different legal mechanisms we already have in place provide an appropriate framework and one that can be adapted depending on the policy area or the area of economic activity. And then in the meantime, earlier this year, the federal government announced a proposed reform that would impact directly on individual accountability and one that might go some way to addressing these issues of diffused responsibility, at least in the financial services sector. Now, that proposal, known as the financial accountability regime, comes out of recommendations of the Royal Commission about extending legislation that we already have applying to banks, but it goes further. It's based on a model that they implemented in the UK after the global financial crisis, and it would do a number of things. But among them, it would require certain really large companies regulated by APRA, like banks and superannuation funds and insurers, to map out exactly which individuals are accountable for particular areas of operation in the company. So this might include designating one individual executive responsible for management of a particular financial product or for compliance with licensing obligations in a particular area. And it would put specific obligations on those named, notified individuals to act with reasonable care and skill and to ensure that the company complies with its licensing obligations. And if those named, notified individuals didn't do that, then they could be liable to pay a civil penalty. The idea is that this new regime should provide a greater degree of certainty as to where accountability lies, both for the individual executives and for the regulators when things go wrong.
So, Sarah, how did this new proposal impact on the ALRC's recommendation in this area?
The ALRC thinks that this proposal might address some of the issues it's identified as hindering accountability. So it concluded that this new regime should be given time to be implemented and operational before we look at any other wholesale reform. Obviously, with the current pandemic crisis, the timeline for introducing that legislation is uncertain at the moment. It had been suggested that it'd be introduced by the end of the year, but that seems unlikely now. So the ALRC recommended that this issue of individual accountability for corporate misconduct be looked at again in a wide-ranging review 5 years after this new regime has come into force.
Now, the proposed financial accountability regime only applies to the financial services sector, but many other corporations are huge players, including retailers, telecommunications companies, aged care providers, and pharmaceutical companies. They've been in the news for breaking the law. What about those areas?
Absolutely. Well, yes, the financial services sector is one area where there has been an obvious accountability deficit, but you're right. Misconduct is certainly not limited to that area, and the research suggests that the lack of accountability at the top isn't either. In the report, we've suggested that if the financial accountability regime is successful, similar schemes could be looked at in other highly regulated sectors with large corporate actors. They could be considered where there are, you know, clear accountability deficits or in sectors with the potential for significant public harm. And the report also outlines some recent jurisprudence from the High Court on the interpretation of officers' duties, and that might also help to clarify accountability in other cases in the coming years. But yes, it's exactly for this reason that the ALRC recommended a further review in 5 years' time. We've concluded that there is a problem with accountability in very large corporations. And if the new and the existing mechanisms don't start to operate to hold directors and senior managers liable when appropriate for corporate misconduct, well, there may well be the need for further reform. The report highlights that actually we might actually already be on the path towards some kind of rationalisation of all these different mechanisms that we have to hold people individually responsible in any event. And the report discusses this in further detail and the direction in which any future reform could go.
Thanks very much, Sarah, for explaining the ALRC's reasoning around individual liability. And as Sarah says, there is much more detail on the existing mechanisms for holding individuals responsible for corporate crimes and the way in which they are evolving in Chapter 9 of the ALRC's report.
Lovely to speak to you, Nadine. Thanks so much for having me.
To find out more about this important issue, you can download the full report on the Australian Law Reform Commission website. You can also join the conversation on Twitter and LinkedIn, and I invite you to join us for our next episode, which dives into the recommendations for sentencing corporations.